Right, so today we're on the podcast we've got for you. Firstly, we'll be talking about a match preview for Fulham this weekend. Obviously, Craven Cottage this weekend, Saturday 3 p.m. We'll be talking you through a preview for the game and what we think will happen against Fulham. And then secondly, we also have a segment on Everton's improving defence and what we put that down to as well. Obviously, 5 clean sheets in the last 6 games, and we'll be talking that through and whether we think we can keep it up for the future as well.
Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. As you may notice, I'm not Jerry. Jerry's pulled the Michael Keane. He said he was feeling a bit unwell in the warm-up, and Captain Reliable, Phil Jagielka, Tom over there, he stepped in at last 20 minutes. He stepped in and he's filling the post. How are you, Tom, mate? It's been a while.
Not too bad. Hopefully I'll have as good a performance as Phil Jagielka on the weekend, like. But yeah, nothing else too much of it. I've missed it, to be honest. I haven't done a video like this for ages. I've done a few with the old guest and that, but I haven't been on with you for a while now.
No, it's been a while since the dynamic duo's been together.
Yeah. I'm happy to be back, and
just so, like, the viewers don't know this, but I actually can't even see you right now, so I'm talking to your little Skype profile picture, but don't have to do it without too many problems. So first up, what we're covering, we are Everton at the weekend. Saturday we've got Fulham away. It's the still no one's given me an answer to when was the last time Everton beat London teams back to back to back. Obviously this time we've got the opportunity to make that four times on the bounce that we beat a team from the capital. Everton have won their last 3, obviously. Fulham have lost their last 3 miserably. And Tom, it doesn't take a genius to tell you that, I know, and Evertonians will know from last season, you can't call a season where you go through 3 different managers good, can you?
No, not at all. They're not really doing that well. And Scott Parker's really, I suppose, if they've got anything to fight for whatsoever, it's Scott Parker fighting for his future for next season, whether he's going to be kept on in the Championship. But it doesn't look like they're fighting for anything at the moment. Since they've been relegated, they are rolling on over a little bit. Like, even last week, they got beat 4-1 against Watford, and they're just looking like they're just kind of just taking it. And it's unfortunate, but that's what's happening. It's not been a good season for them, obviously. They've obviously gone straight back down to the Championship. They've got a few good players there as well, we were saying. They've got the likes of Mitrovic, who's been interested in Everton, apparently. And Ryan Sessegnon come back to the Prem. We all thought he was going to do really well, but he hasn't really really shown what we expected of him. And,
it's been really weird, though, isn't it? Because out of the teams that were promoted from the Championship last season, obviously, the players the Fulham managed to attract, obviously there's that, the attraction of playing in the capital city, being in and around London. But Andre Schürrle, a World Cup winner, Luciano Vietto, who was really highly thought after in Spain. We were talking a bit about John Michel City as well, who Barcelona were caught, and he's ended up taking the decision to go to Fulham. And I remember earlier on in the season, I think it might have even been the first game of the season, I watched Fulham against Burnley. I think Fulham ended up winning 4-2. It was a really fascinating game. Those said players put on a real show. I think John Michel City scored an absolute screamer too, and that looked, that set the tone for me. I remember before we played them at Goodison, I sat down with a lad from Fulham Focus, who was a Fulham fan podcast and that, and he was quite optimistic in that they had real quality players. And it just seemed like he was waiting on them to gel as a team. Obviously, that's not been the case, and it just kind of went south. They've ended up sacking Djukanovic in November. Got Ranieri, and obviously that was almost a feel-good story within football that he's found his way back into Premier League management. But he didn't seem to be able to work his magic there. He sacked after 106 days in the February. And obviously, as you said, they took a punt on appointing a former player as manager in Scott Parker. I was a huge fan of Scott Parker when he was a player, and just that kind of, that tenacity, that grit, didn't stop running type of central midfielder. And I suppose that leadership that he showed on the pitch, there was a hope that could transfer to the dressing room, almost similar to what happened at West Brom last season with them appointing Darren Moore. Obviously, that hasn't worked out. Again, similar to West Brom, and they've been one of the two teams already confirmed relegated this season. And as far as Everton concerned, this really should be a formality. Will it be a formality though? Because it's Everton we're talking about here. Like
the former at the moment, I can't see any. Like we're beating the likes of Chelsea and Arsenal. We can't go to Fulham and lose. That's like that'll just scratch all the good work we've done in the last few games. We've built up this momentum. We're looking to look like a, we're starting to look like a really good side now. We're starting the squad togetherness and everything. And if we lose this, it's all going to be like, well, that was just a bit of a fluke on it. So like we've got to win this if we want that consistency. So I wouldn't think of it as just it's one of them where we'll just win, because like if we win this, then people will think, yeah, Everton are a good side now. But if we lose this, I think, oh, they've obviously just had a good game against the big sides. But this is our chance to properly push on now with the end of the season coming. Like we've obviously got to scrap for seventh place as well against two sides who will have what a point ahead of us. And if Watford last week as well can beat these 4-1 and we're fighting with them for seventh, if we can't get a result against these, that really says something for the fight for seventh place as well, I reckon.
I know, 100%. And, you know, as you mentioned, Watford there, Leicester too. I think Leicester are the ones that are actually in seventh place at the minute. I think they've won the last four on the bounce under Brendan Rodgers now, who, after losing his first game, I think he's really had an influence over Leicester. Just to back up your point, I was looking at the head-to-heads and, you know, if it was ever more evident that Everton, you know, it should be a formality in the last 62 meetings, Fulham have won 19, there's been 13 draws, and Everton have won 30. They've only beat us once in the last 9 years, and that was 2-1 in 2013 in the League Cup. As we know, we never really turn up in the League Cup anyway. Mm. But as you were saying there, mate, like if we lose this, or if we slip off and have a poor performance, and even if it's a point, that'd just be, you know, those big wins against Chelsea, West Ham, Arsenal, all undone. And like the way I even approached the question, like it should be a formality, but it's Everton. I remember in Martinez's first season, obviously we beat Arsenal in what looked to be a really decisive win in regard to getting that fourth place, finally getting Champions League. Then we ended up getting beat by Crystal Palace at home, you know, and we lost that, and the entire season kind of fell undone. I know that it's not quite similar, you know, it's not as a bigger scenario, because we, as you say, it's still only a battle for seventh place, but we beat Fulham. That puts us onto Manchester United, and obviously that keeps the momentum rolling with, what, 4 games left to play?
Yeah.
Including Manchester United, so. And I haven't talked to you about this, Tom. Like in regards to getting that seventh place, do you think, or do you think it's, because I personally think it's going to end up in either Watford or Leicester, looking more likely to be Leicester now than anyone else. But do you think we can get it?
If we push on like we have been, yeah, I think we're starting to look like a proper top side, beating these top teams, and hopefully be able to shove over the lower ones as well. So I think. I still believe with the seventh best team in the Prem, when we're at our best and we are better than Leicester, I reckon. Obviously they've strengthened quite well. That Tielemans look like quite a player, to be fair, as well as Jamie Vardy's hit form again, obviously, as well. So, but I do believe if we're playing like this, like we have been the last few weeks, we are the seventh best team in the Prem, and if we've not left it too late to reclaim that spot, then I still believe we can get it, yeah. But whether we want European football next season is also a question, because obviously it messed up our league season under Koeman last year, and it kind of threw us off the rails a little bit, and if we don't have it, maybe we can properly focus on the league and push on, but it might prove a distraction. Do we have the squad depth for it at the moment? Maybe we do, but like, it's a question of whether we want European football as well, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%, and as I say, obviously what is it now, April? It's all about finishing the season strong, isn't it?
And
Given the players' confidence ahead of the new season, even if we don't achieve a European spot, it's, you know, keeping that momentum going. As we, you know, we've already proved that we can beat the top sides, and after beating West Ham, I think that was our first win in London in our last 10 attempts over, you know, so that was like 2 years since we haven't won in London. So Saturday, 3 o'clock, Everton have got the chance to do that again at Craven Cottage.
Fingers crossed, yeah. What do you think about predictions as well? Have you got any ideas?
I mean, as I say, I think it should be a formality. I'd like to see, you know, continuing that type of performance as we showed against Arsenal, and I'd like to see, you know, the same type of dominance as we displayed against West Ham. Going to go for 3-0 Everton. What about yourself?
Solid. Yeah, it's be a decent win there. Obviously, they haven't got the strongest defence. It's been pretty inconsistent, but they have been playing like five at the back in recent weeks. But still, they play five at the back against Watford and still conceded four goals. So I can't see them being that strong in defence, really. They have made quite a few errors this season, possibly more than any other team. So I do think we'll have a way past them on the weekend and probably go with a similar scoreline. So I'm going to go 2-0, be a little bit less optimistic, but if I was putting a bet on it, I'd go with 2-0, yeah.
Nice, and it's good to see that we're still keeping the confidence in our back line and goalkeeper, which are a segment that we're going to get onto next.
Today we're going to be talking about the improvement in Everton's defence that we've seen in recent weeks. Obviously it's been, five clean sheets in the last six, something like that. And we're looking really strong now, and obviously with the late change at the weekend as well, it didn't throw us off at all. Obviously Phil Jagielka had to come in for the ill Michael Keane, and it didn't throw us off our game whatsoever. And Jagielka obviously scored what turned out to be the winner. And it seems we can't go wrong with defence at the moment. It seems, obviously, I think a major factor is Seamus Coleman playing back into form, but it seems we are... It doesn't matter if we swap things around at the back. We've had Yerry Mina in. We've had several different partnerships with Kurt Zouma, Yerry Mina and Michael Keane, and obviously Jagielka now as well. And they all seem to be working. We're strong at the back, whatever combination we play. Obviously, with Lucas Digne playing into form as well. What do you think about it, Max? How have we managed to get this consistency in defence, even though we have played with different partnerships?
Well, it is really interesting, isn't it? Because you said you examine the earlier part of the season, and you'd say Everton's biggest downfall was our defence, in that we never seemed to get to grips with zonal marking, and we conceded far too many silly goals. I'd say obviously I think a key part of our season everyone attributes is the 17-day gap. After we were beaten. Who were we beaten by? Was it Watford? We got beat 1-0 by Watford.
Yeah.
It really disappointing. At Vicarage Road, we had that big international break. Came back against Cardiff, albeit not the strongest of oppositions, but there seemed to be, a new look Everton, organised, forward thinking. And just to add on from what you were saying, obviously, a lot of the defenders have been in form and they've certainly brushed up. But I'd attribute the overall defensive performance down to the entire squad. Like, there seems to be a serious improvement in work ethic, an improvement in fitness, because inconsistency was also a huge issue with Everton, in that we could never seem to put together a strong 90-minute performance. But players are looking capable of managing a 90 to 95 minute performance without flagging towards the end, which is really beneficial, in that we've kept, as you say, five clean sheets in our next six games now. And no matter who we seem to have in that defence, obviously we've been unfortunate with it looks like a long-term injury to Yerry Mina. We wait and see on him again. The illness, obviously, to Michael Keane. And Jagielka stepped in, and I think at any other point of the season, obviously, prior to that 3-0 win against Cardiff, we may have folded, because obviously I said five clean sheets in our last six. That one game where we did concede, obviously, was that 3-2 capitulation against Newcastle, where we conceded three goals later on in the game, where we just seemed to fold. Like, I believe bringing Jagielka in at any other point of the season, we might have folded there against Arsenal. But because Pickford's been playing well, the rest of the defence have been playing well, Jagielka stepped in and he was confident. And I think that breeds confidence for the rest of the team. Everyone is speaking really highly of the midfielders too. So Idrissa Gueye, we all know what he's like. I haven't checked in a while, but he's more or less always within the top two or three players in terms of tackles and ground cover in the league. Andre Gomez too, he's really been putting a shift in defensively. Richarlison, I feel like, is one that has gone under the radar, and you can attribute a lot of his work to Coleman's improvement too. I feel like they've conjured up a real good partnership down that right hand side in terms of defensively, and Bernard too. So it, you know, it's great to see in particular these new signings. They've seemed to burden the defensive responsibility because, you know, obviously we got Fulham at the weekend. You juxtapose that to Fulham, some of their new signings, like you said, Tom. Some of them, you know, they're just conceding goals at will sometimes, and it doesn't look like their players have really got to grips with the Premier League and that physical demand of your game that it doesn't seem to be there. But it looks like it's you know, slowly but surely developed within this Everton side, and I think I'll end what I'm saying with. How long do you reckon we can continue this run of clean sheets?
As long as we keep defending as a team, as you say, literally, that's we're saying the defence has improved, but it's more than that, really. It's the midfielders helping out the defenders, and we're defending as a team and attacking as a team. And rather than like the back four and Pickford, they're keeping the clean sheets, it is the midfielders as well, like you were saying. Bernard getting back, he's tenacious. Like, he may be small, but he puts himself around, he sprints back, and he puts himself into a challenge. Like, he's a little aggressive lad, isn't he? Like, and you've got, like, Richarlison, obviously, as well. He's aggressive as well. He gets back fast, covers Coleman when he needs to. And just the protection from Andre Gomes as well, and Gay. I think Gomez covered something mad like 7 or 8 miles the weekend, and he just covered. I've noticed he covers the fullbacks quite a bit. If the fullbacks are getting up, Andre Gomez will drop in either side and be able to cover them wherever the threat's coming from. And that's a big part of his game defensively, as well as what he can do going forward. But Garner as well, just breaking up the play consistently. Like, he's come back to, I think he's on top of his game at the moment. I think he's playing really well. Obviously, he had a bit of a blip in January when his eye got taken off the ball a little bit with the move to PSG being in the offing. But he's really got his eye back on the ball, and it's just defending as a team. It's not just the defence, it's really the midfielders as well, and even the press from the front as well, because we are pressing really well. I've noticed part of the upturn in form is down to our press that we just seem to have doing recently, I think, pressing from the front. Like, Calvert-Lewin's getting involved as well, and Sigurdsson running at people further up the pitch than they have been doing. So that high press has been part of the why we've been keeping clean sheets as well, I think. So it's not just the defence, it's the whole team, and that's what you can attribute it to. So I do think it can, if we carry on playing like this, it can carry on for quite a while, and hopefully it's Fulham. But do you think we can keep a clean sheet against Man United next week?
That's an interesting one. Obviously, they played Barca. I didn't watch them against Barca. Did you watch the Barca Man U game last night?
Yeah, watched that. They didn't have a shot on target all game.
That makes it interesting. Then, I mean, I know I'm not saying that we're Barcelona or anything, but that does make it interesting if they're going to go through a blip of form where they're not creating chances. Fingers crossed, but I don't know. Coming up against Lukaku, mate. That's got headlines written already, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, just an interesting point that you opened up there, which I feel like, you know, I feel like it's going in the right direction. This new pressing game that seemed to have emerged, that we seem to have adopted, as I mentioned earlier, I think a huge part of that's down to our fitness improvements over the last couple of months. But obviously, I think in modern football, you've got two overarching dominant philosophies. You've got, you know, the Gegenpressing, as Mr. Jürgen Klopp likes to refer to it, which is that pressing from the front, which is, you know, one of the finest sides that I've ever saw emulate that was his Dortmund teams around 2012-2013. And on the flip side to that, you've got Tiki Taka, Pep Guardiola, which I think he has had to alter slightly in adapting to the Premier League, but obviously we've seen it last season with how dominant Manchester City were, and you know, they are getting on really well this season despite Liverpool playing as well as they are. Which of the two philosophies would you rather see Everton adopt in the medium to long term future?
It's interesting because they're the two that are battling out at the top, really, isn't it? You've got Pep Guardiola's like tiki taka kind of thing, and you've got up against Jurgen Klopp's Gegenpress, and they're the two massive forces battling out in the Prem. So which one do you go with out of them two? Which one suits us more as a team as well? And I'm going with the press at the moment, because I'm watching this press in recent weeks, and that's been a massive part, as we've said, in our upturning form, I think, this new press. So I think I'd rather go with that, because we've seen at times that some of our players, like when they're on the best run of form, couldn't string a few passes together. So to play tiki-taka, you've got to have the quality. You've got to have people who can instantly know where everyone is around them, and just literally just like absolute genius. Like you've got to work on that for ages. You've got to sign specific players like Barca have, and I don't think Everton have that, to be honest. So I'd go with the press myself with Jim.
Yeah, and just on that, like, yeah, 100%. Like, I think with tiki-taka, there is a preference to technical ability over physical ability. Like, it doesn't necessarily matter if you can play, if you can run your socks off for 90 minutes. Like, for example, prime example, Barcelona 2011. Xavi, Iniesta, they're not going to bust the guff for 90 minutes. Obviously, they're not playing in the Premier League, and there's not as much of a physical demand, which is probably why that philosophy is more predominant throughout Spain, La Liga. But you shift that, and I think it comes full circle to the point that the Premier League is just kind of different. You've seen Sarri struggle to adapt the tiki-taka style, which obviously it's highly dependent on that pivot in the midfield. He's tried to do it with Jorginho, that's not really happened. And I don't think Everton, like you say, Tom, I don't think Everton have the characteristics or a player with the characteristics of a pivot. So yeah, at 100%, as you say, if it's working for us, I'd prefer us to adopt the press. That might change going forward. Obviously, I think our player who embodies that relentless, dogged press is Gay, as you say. Obviously, had his head turned by the interest shown by PSG, and I think the identity that Everton Football Club adopt going forward, it may hinge on whether Idrissa Gueye goes in the summer, because if he goes, obviously we're going to have to look into the transfer market for a replacement, but it's highly unlikely that we're going to replace him with, obviously we've got no European football, well, we've got no Champions League or definite Europa League to offer to anyone, so I don't think we're going to attract a high, top level player that can press like him, like a Rabiot. The top level players that emulate that press, they demand European football, and maybe Marco Silva's going to adopt a tiki-taka, more technical side. But I don't know, as you say, it's what works for us at the minute, and with some of the players that we've got, it seems like they're adapting significantly well too. How do you think Gylfi Sigurdsson has come on recently in obviously since we've adopted the press, Tom? Because I've seen a lot of social media, Twitter in particular. Sometimes they're on his back, but in this good turn of form, obviously what is it? 13 league goal, not league goals. I think it's like 12 league goal, but 13 all season. So he's got an influence in terms of turning in numbers for goals and assists, and I think he's been involved in more players, in more goals than any other player since he's joined the club. What do you make of his current turning performance?
He always covers a lot of ground. He does a lot of running for the team. That's always been part of his game. I think it's well known that in his last season at Swansea, he covered the most ground than any other player in the Premier League. And he's continued that, to be fair. He still does a lot of running. He's still a similar player than he was in terms of work rate. But on the ball, sometimes he does go missing quite a bit. Even in recent weeks when we've been playing really well, like I'd say was it the first half against Arsenal, he was a bit quiet. He got more chances in the second half, and he took a few decent chances, but he wasn't able to take them, obviously, but he had the goal. Mm-hmm. But he has gone missing at times, even in recent weeks when we have been playing well. I'm not sure if it's because he's obviously work rate off the ball, he's running around and he's struggling to get back, but like into position for the attack, but he does go missing a little bit on the ball.
Yeah.
So he's not like one of, if you're talking about our informed players at the moment, our best, like on the top of the game, I'd say like the likes of Bernard, like Calvert-Lewin's playing better than we've seen him. Luca Dean obviously having a great season. Seamus Coleman's come back into form. But in terms of our informed players, I wouldn't put Gylfi up there at the moment, to be honest, would you?
I think he's benefited now from having Calvert-Lewin, and I think Calvert-Lewin's, obviously you'd list Calvert-Lewin as, if not our top informed player at the minute. And I think Gylfie Sigurdsson's maybe just been passed by in that, you know, if you have a healthy on the field relationship between an attacking midfielder and a striker, the attacking midfielder probably shouldn't be taking as much praise, and maybe that's the way you want it in terms of on paper results, because it should be your centre forward that should be turning in terms of goals and you know, getting the accolades in terms of player performances. Obviously, Calvert-Lewin hasn't got as many goals as Sigurdsson this season, but as you say, in terms of Sigurdsson's work off the ball, I've been a massive fan of Sigurdsson since he came to Everton. I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, and then some people brandish him as a luxury player. My biggest criticism of him, up until I'd say our decent turn in form, is that on the press, although he covers a lot of ground, he maybe is not as assertive with putting the foot in and intercepting that ball high up the field. But and he always seemed, as you say, he always seemed to be that one leading the line, didn't he? In terms of being the first one to press, being first to the ball, as I said, maybe not always getting the foot in, but it looks like the likes of the, you know, it looks like the players around them, such as Richarlison, such as Bernard and Calvert-Lewin, have seen just how influential taking that press, that, you know, that high press, and just how that can how that can change games for you. Obviously, it pins the opposition back, and you know, by all accounts for Everton, it's limited chances in terms of the opposition. Maybe that benefits us there, because how many times, for example, last season and earlier on, even in this season, have we said Jordan Pickford just being exposed to far too many shots? But you know, you look, what was it, 23 shots against Arsenal. How many shots were there against West Ham? It was double digits again. Yeah, I'm sure. I think it was something like 13. It's that, you know, that's literally defending from the front, as you say. We spoke about the defence, and you know how that's, you know, that's certainly give them confidence. But regardless of the centre back partnerships, the confidence is there, and we see him. You know, we see him convicted in what we're doing and sure of ourselves, which has been a long time since we've seen that from an Everton side. Going forward, I know obviously it's kind of up in the air about whether or not Kurt Doom is gonna you know, be an Everton player next season. What's this centre back partnership going forward, Tom? Is it Michael Keane and Yerry Mina, or, you know, would you go all out to try and get Zuma?
It's a shame not to see Mina in the team, because obviously we've always wanted to see him. He's a great character, and he's a good player as well. When he keeps his head, he can lose his head at times, but when he keeps his head, he's a really solid player and great in the air as well. But he's obviously come with his problems in terms of injuries, and he's been out quite a bit, and I think that might be one of the reasons why Manchester United didn't go as strongly in for him as we did, because of his injury history, and he might have a weakness in there. So I think we do need another really strong centre-back if we are going to keep Mina in there. In terms of one of our main centre-backs, we do need another main centre-back like Zuma. It's a shame that he's keeping him out of the team, but he is. He can get injured quite easily, Yerry Mina, which is a shame. But yeah, obviously, I'd like to see us sign Kurt Zouma going forward. But with the transfer ban being placed on Chelsea, it'll make him a little bit more expensive, maybe, and because they want to keep him. I'm not sure how that'll affect things, because they have got strength at centre back. To be fair, they've got players who want out of the team though, like, because they aren't getting enough opportunities, the likes of Gary Cahill and Andreas Christensen. So I'm not sure how that'll affect them. But I'd love to see a side get to me, because those three to choose from, as well as Jagielka, it's a luxury to choose from, really, isn't it? Because I'd like to see Jagielka as well, just as a final thing as well. I was thinking of touch on, obviously, Jagielka's just had a great performance, coming in last minute and scoring. Do you want him kept on next season?
See, I've noticed that this question's kind of throwing itself back up, obviously, since that performance, but I don't mean to be overly critical when I say this, but just in the medium to long term future of the club, I don't think it's in the best interest. I'd had what is, you know, he was the first 36-year-old to score in the Premier League this season. Like, yeah, he's been an absolutely fantastic player for Everton over the years. What is it, like 11, 12 years since he's been here? And you know, he's been a fine example of a professional footballer. Hence why he's been our captain after Phil Neville left. But you know, you've got Mason Holgate coming back, and for me, you know, that in terms of you slot the centre back, I'd place Mason Holgate above Phil Jagielka in the pecking order. Would I let him go? I'm not 100% sure on that. I think he's a hugely influential player to have in and around the dressing room. I've seen it firsthand. You know, he's a top pro to have in there in terms of how he keeps the mood high, and he's a senior figure, and you do need those in your dressing room. However, as I said, in terms of the medium to long term future, I don't think that's wise. I think another senior figure in the dressing room, Seamus Coleman. I think Seamus Coleman's more or less assumed that position as the captain of the team, whether or not he actually has the armband on. But I think going forward, mate, we've got to look to the future. I don't think we're signing anyone like Matthias De Ligt anytime soon. But as I said, Mason Holgate and keeping that eye on the future is what's better for the club.
Yeah, he's probably, as much as we love him, he might be blocking the pathway for the younger players to come in, and that's the last thing he wants, I'm sure, himself. I'd hate to see us losing though, so I really do hope he stays on as a coach, if anything, next season, just to be there, help the dressing room, because he really is a character that we could do with keeping, to be honest. So I'm hoping he stays on as part of the coaching staff anyway. But yeah, proper good Everton talk that. So I hope you enjoyed the segment. Give us a like, comment and subscribe to the Toffee Blues channel, and of course check us out on social media. We've got our tags here. Have a look on the work we're doing. We're doing a few articles between us on the Toffee Blues website, which has recently been updated, so go and have a look. Max has been doing the match reports, and I've been doing the player ratings last week and the loan report as well, so have a look at those and the stuff we're doing ourselves as well, so have a look. So thanks a lot for watching. I hope you enjoyed it, and join us next time on the Toffee Blues.